This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another week here at the Superhuman Radio Studio. Okay, we got a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Julian Smith about his book, The Flinch. And later in the show, I'm going to be covering three forgotten training protocols and part of my effort to continue to give you some things to change up and keep progress going in the right direction. So we'll talk about that after the interview with Julian. You know, it's said that which does not kill you can make you stronger. And if that's true, then Julian Smith may actually be able to make you stronger. How you doing, Julian?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. First of all, before we get started with the actual book itself and discussing it, what made you write this book?
I wrote The Flinch because I'm probably one of the worst victims of the stuff that I actually wrote about. I felt for like many, many years that I was sort of really challenged, really sort of beaten down over and over again by myself more than anyone else, and I kept sort of struggling with it, and finally sort of by writing The Flinch, it's almost like exercising the demon a little bit. I get to a point where I feel like I've identified it. You know when they say a demon, if you sort of call out its true name, then you have power over it. Well, that's how I felt after I wrote that book.
Yeah, G. Gordon Liddy was afraid of rats, so he killed one and ate one, and that was it. He was done with
afraid
of rats. Interestingly enough, we're really programmed to respond to The Flinch as children. If you remember the games that we used to play in schoolyards, open chest and punch bug and open, you would always two for flinching. Remember that one? Like you would act like you're going to punch somebody, they'd flinch, and so then you would punch them?
You got it. Exactly.
So we're actually programmed with this in mind. Okay, you've done some astonishing things to address your flinch zones, obviously. Let's talk about and get a little deeper into why people should even consider being aware of the flinch and modulating it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so I came from, I got to say, I probably was one of the biggest wusses alive for like a large part of my life. And I don't know exactly how it is that exactly that moment where I started sort of recognizing what was going on. But I all of a sudden I was like, I started getting into sort of weightlifting, and I got into CrossFit, and I started doing endurance things, and I walked across all of Spain, for example.
How far was that? I remember hearing about that. How far was that walk?
It's 800 kilometers or 500 miles, so it takes like 35 days maybe. And so when you do physical acts, you really encounter the flinch like in a much, much more visceral way than most people do. But what I do in the book is I sort of extrapolate past the physical and say, well, your brain is really wired to keep you safe. And it does that because in moments where new things happen, it realizes it doesn't quite know how to deal with it, so it just puts you into a place where it goes, okay, well, you need to step away from this first. You need to get into a place of safety, and then you make decisions from there. And although that used to be helpful, and it still is helpful if you're getting mugged, or still is to get helpful if you're, like, in an abusive relationship, it's largely not helpful in modern society where everything is pretty much safe.
Well, I understand what you're saying, everything's pretty much safe, but don't you think that as society has progressed, for lack of better terms, the noise factor has elevated and we kind of lose some of our flinch just naturally being in today's day and age?
Yeah, because we end up so overpowered by some of the stuff that happens. Like, you know, your instinct maybe if you see a stranger on the street might be to give him a bit of change or like put a sweater on him or something like that. But over and over again, you live in New York City or something like that, you might be totally, you might entirely stop caring.
Yeah,
right.
Become
numb.
You're numbed.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was in L.A. For the holidays. We were eating lunch on Rodeo Drive. And, you know, I live in Louisville, Kentucky now. It's like, this is as boring as it can get. And between the car horns beeping and the people yelling, and it's like, I felt like I was in Vietnam eating my meal. Everybody else around me looked like they were perfectly comfortable. So obviously, your sensitivity to things that make you flinch, changes, by what you expose yourself to. And that's what you kind of espouse in the book, right?
Right, exactly. So just like exactly like you're saying, this adjustment that you have is based on your environment, which is a totally natural thing. All living things do that. So if you are if you're surrounded by things that are dangerous, you will largely start to understand what that danger is. Like some people will see a bear and they've never encountered a bear, so they'll go, "Oh my God, I don't know how to deal with that." Other people who handle bears for a living, for example, will be like, "Oh, well, this one's dangerous and this one is not." They have a much more nuanced understanding of what goes on. So we have a nuanced understanding of, for example, city life or of office life, but we do not have a nuanced understanding of what is actually dangerous because we never encounter danger.
Right. I see what you're saying. Okay, so give me some examples of things that you would use to exercise the flinch, if you will.
So, you know, it's funny because as I've written this book and then put it out, and it's gotten an amazing response, which is amazing. And lots of people have been connecting with me, and they give me all these examples of things that have happened in their lives that are outside of the book. And there are people who have post-traumatic stress disorder, for example. And there are people who are stutterers. And then there are, like, swimmers who, like, are in the middle of an open water swim, and then they find themselves in the middle of a lake, and they go, "Oh, my God, you know, like, what did I just do?" All these sort of moments where people encounter almost like panic attack events, and the only real way to adjust to that is to encounter it in a limited sort of non-dangerous way. So there are certain basic things that would make your brain or your body flinch. One of them is to take a cold shower or to jump into a cold pool. And I know, like, even now, my actual body does not want to enter into that body of water. And so it provokes a reaction, even though there's no real danger to doing so. So basically, it's a slow adjustment process. You find environments where there's no social or negative physical consequences to what you do. So if you're really afraid of going to a party that you don't know anyone, what you need to be doing is you need to be encountering strangers on a daily basis. And we're afraid of strangers. I mean, our bodies and our brains are meant to be afraid of strangers because we've only been around strangers really for the past 100 years when cities existed. Before that, we never encountered strangers. And so, of course, we aren't used to the idea, our brains are not used to the idea of how to work with them. But when we encounter a stranger and then we screw up and then we go, "Oh, you know, I really sound like an idiot doing that," when you walk up to someone, the reality is that there's no negative consequences because we don't live in tribes of 150 people anymore. Now we live in people in tribes of 1 million or 5 million. So we could just do these things over and over again, and our flinch reflex subsides after a while.
You know, it's funny you talk about cold showers. I've been doing something for a very, very long time, since I was in my 20s when I lived in New York, and I used to go to the gym. I used to always sit in either the steam room or sauna and then jump into a cold shower. And over the years, this exercise, if you will, has becoming more and more extreme, where when I first started doing it, I would jump into a tepid shower, and that would feel very cold after stepping out of a sauna. But now I get out of a 160-degree sauna after sitting there for 30 to 40 minutes and walk into an ice-cold shower. I mean, I just turn the cold on and get under there, and I have to gasp for air, and I start to get, like, you know when you're going to get white out? You know, my eyes start to react, and my skin turns all red, but I thrive on it. I actually love it. It makes me feel invigorated and alive. So something that used to be difficult for me to do, that I'd have to actually force myself to do it, I actually look forward to doing it. What happens when the flinch makes that transition? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I would say it's almost exclusively a good thing. The reality is you can never eliminate your flinch reflex, right? Because, like, even if a butterfly enters into your field of vision, for example, from your peripheral vision into your central vision, all of a sudden your instinct is to close your eyes and to move your head back. Because it doesn't matter if it's a bullet, if it's a punch, or if it's a butterfly, your instinct is to protect your head. And you can never eliminate that. So much of the psychological flinching mechanism, which is sort of trained into us, this sort of lack of courage that most people, including myself, are sort of bred to have is wiped out by encountering more and more quote-unquote dangerous things, which really aren't dangerous at all. And then the things that truly are dangerous, we can never eliminate that flinch reflex. So what we can do for those things is we can transform it. So there's an amazing guy, Tony Blauer is his name, and he's a specialist in martial arts who talks about the startle flinch reflex. It's a biological reflex that never goes away, and so what he does is inside of martial arts and police forces and firemen and so on, is he trains you to flinch forward instead of flinch back.
Ah.
So there's this fundamental transformation that occurs when you understand that, first of all, it's a biological instinct to protect you, and then second of all, there's parts of it that are helping you, but there's also parts that are hindering you, and to be able to make the distinction between them.
Interesting. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got lots of questions. We're talking with Julian Smith. You can get his book for free at Amazon.com. I actually downloaded a copy onto my iPhone. If you have Kindle, you can get it. Lots of different ways. Where else can they get it? Is Amazon the only place, Julian?
You can get it pretty much anywhere. You want to go to my website, juliansmith.com, or inoveryourhead.net. You can get it for free there if you email me. It's always available pretty much everywhere.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, mamas. Mamas, mamas. Baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this.
Welcome back. We're talking this hour with Julian Smith, author of The Flinch. It's a great book. You got to buy it. Well, you don't have to buy it. It's free. I'm usually preaching to people that they have to buy their books, Julian. You sure you don't want to charge something?
You know, it's too late, man. I wish I could change my mind.
But anyway,
money.
It's really a great book because there's a lot of application in life in general. There's lots of discussion in this day and age about hormesis. Hormesis originally was a term used, what happens to the body when it's exposed to low levels of toxins over time. But really, we can think of this effect of hormesis is also evident in things like vaccines. When you take an attenuated virus and you put it in the body gets stronger as a result to deal with those types of things. Isn't the flinch actually more of an exercise in hormesis?
God, I got to tell you, and I'm not just saying this, man. I got to tell you, you're one of the most informed radio people that I have ever met, and I did radio for 10 years of my life. You're absolutely right. Hormesis is a key biological reaction to poison. It's a biological reaction to any kind of low-level stress. And the idea with hormesis is that a low-level stress in one place will cause several or either one or several positive reaction in another space of your life. So this is how, for example, basic radiation, which comes from the sun, ends up producing vitamin D in the body, which is highly beneficial for health and so on, right? So
right.
You're totally right.
Right. And that obviously happens over time that through the evolutionary process. I'm sure that there's a lot of things that we do now that we didn't do when we were in the Paleolithic era or even before that. So, I mean, there's constantly changes going on. But now let's talk the flinch that you really focus on has more to do with psychological adaptation than anything else. I have just had two experiences where I had to reject somebody, one in a personal experience and one in a business experience, and people react really, and as we all do this, it's like, I remember my mother telling me, the only reason why you want her is because she doesn't want you. You know, when you break up with a girl, she breaks up with you. And I remember thinking about that when I was young. I was like really thinking about that. Well, why is that? And then I started to be exposed to different types of Eastern philosophies, and I looked at Aikido, where you use somebody else's weight against them. They throw a punch, you take their arm and pull it instead of trying to repel it. So this notion that you're talking about with the flinch here, the psychological aspect of what people can learn from your book is profound. They can use these things in day-to-day life. What types of exercises do you see people using for the everyday modern human being?
You know, people are doing it in their own way, every single day. Everybody has different flinch reflexes based on their history. Some have really unreasonable ones, and some have more sort of reasonable ones that have sort of come about from everyday life or whatever. So you notice that usually, what it is you've kind of led your life along this corridor, and what happens is that there's many, many sort of different avenues you could be going down. There's many, think about like a long street, you're going down Main Street of a small town. There's many different shops that you could visit along side streets, but most people just go down the main avenue over and over and over again. Those stalls and those shops end up becoming sort of like the most profitable ones for the business, but never the most profitable one for the visitor, because the visitor, you know, the business doesn't care about them.
Right.
You find that it's sort of reduced and influenced by the tragedy of the commons. So what happens generally when you go into an avenue where most people have not gone is that you'll get an amazing positive reaction, because those are the spaces where you get the most psychological benefits. Those are the people where you get the places where you get the most profit if you're a business that's sort of encountering the flinch, which would be like a drastic change in your business environment. And so, I mean, this is the way that I see it. The way that people can do it in everyday life is they can look at the blind spots that they usually avoid, which requires some kind of outside,
force. I was just going to say, you have to have a special awareness for this, because it's very easy to identify the flinch, the actual physical flinch. But the flinch you're talking about is much more subtle, and in fact, is probably something that is a forethought that causes us to veer around or not go through that neighborhood or not choose this job or not choose that outfit. And it's so subtle. How do you see that flinch?
You know, it's funny that you say this, because for many, many years, I've been thinking about this idea of breaking patterns as a key to what eventually became this idea of the flinch. I spent years doing a Brazilian martial art called capoeira, which is essentially the art of deception and of making patterns, and that you watch your opponent watches you sort of make certain patterns, and then you break them on purpose in order to deceive your opponent into making the wrong move. It's the same thing that happens in chess or in Go and a lots of different things. And so your problem is that you have a number of patterns inherent in your life, both biologically and psychologically. Very simple things sometimes is always turning right instead of turning left, like Zoolander, right? And
right,
then more
right.
psychological ones, which are something like, every time that I drive to work, I drive going exactly the same way. And these are the things which sort of dig deep grooves into your brain, which eventually become unbreakable. It's how old people, you just end up talking to them about
yes.
something that's just came out, like, no, music. But is it really because the music is bad, or is it just because you were not exposed to it when you were early on? If something came out that sounded, you know, if a movie came out that had a Marilyn Monroe-like character or actress in it, you would immediately like it. Why? Because it falls under the patterns of what it is that you already like. But we need to be able to challenge that in many, many different ways in order to be able to grow, because the world is changing faster than ever. So we have to change along with it.
And, you know, this is really interesting, because the reality is that in order to embrace the flinch, you just have to start doing things that are outside of the realm of what you normally do. It starts out real simple. It could be as simple is taking a different path to work one morning. It could be as simple as breaking with tradition of something that you do all the time. And it's funny you should point this out, and you point to elderly people. There was a study done on gorillas who had the same environment, you know, gorillas that were kept in small cages where they really didn't have anything change. They noticed that the neuronal sprouting in their brain stopped. But gorillas that were then taken to more elaborate settings where they had these large, almost forests to live in, so that they could have different points of view, you know, different venues. They could climb a tree or they could sit on the ground. And they had more of these different opportunities to do different things. The collateralization in their brain was dramatic. And it just took a few weeks. They took one of these gorillas out of the environment where they saw there was no neuronal sprouting occurring any longer, and this is about memory consolidation as well, and they put him in this new environment. It took 3 weeks before they saw the changes in the brain. So actually embracing the flinch could also improve the way your brain functions on a mechanical level.
Yeah, I mean, your brain is meant to be adaptive. You know, it's been doing it your whole life. It's how you've adapted to become the person that you are. You don't start from a blank slate, don't get me wrong, that's not what I'm saying, but you are in a situation where you've been making the same decisions over and over and over again. And so people are always concerned about change. You know, one of the primary reasons
yes.
you might be listening to this, or you might be reading a book like mine, is because you're thinking about, how is it that I'm actually supposed to change? But the reality is most of the people are thinking, well, you know, oh, that's uncomfortable, so I'm not going to be doing that. Or, you know, this is a little weird. It sounds a little... The reason that you're in the situation that you're in is because of the way that you think. It's because you think the way that you do. So you have to be uncomfortable. You have to do things which you would not normally think are inside your usual realm of experience in order to change your brain, in order to change yourself. So that's really why the exercises and the flinch exist. And lots of people, I'm sure, are like, this is totally dumb or pointless. But the reality is that you don't truly know unless you've had a first-hand experience. You know only if you've actually felt it. You don't really know if you're just reading it in a book. It doesn't mean anything.
What are the exercises in general? Do you have a couple you can just talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's tons that I talk about, but one of them is the idea of... First of all, I make people agree before they ever read the text, which is a really fundamental part of it. You know, you enter into a relationship with maybe like a psychotherapist or something like that. He might say some things that you feel are uncomfortable. And that's the nature of what it is that you, that's the nature of the social contract or whatever. So what I ask people to do is I ask them to agree to do the next thing, whatever it happens to be. And then I'll be like, next time you encounter a homeless person, give them the largest bill that you have. And if you've never done this, you'll be like, this really weirds me out. And I did it myself. Of course, every single thing that I've written in the book. I've done it many more. And the result of it is just you realize how much of a reflex you have against the things that some people would consider positive, you consider negative. Buddhist monks were always known for doing this. They wouldn't just give people things, but they would give things to the people that they hate, because the people that they hate are the people that they are inclined not to like and not to give anything to. So they have to break those patterns, and they have to, in order to become more generous, you actually have to act generous first. So the action actually has to come before the change in the brain.
What other, before we go into this next break, is there any other simple exercises that people can try?
Sure.
Other than giving
I can tell people, for example, in the book, one of the things that I tell them is I'll be like, I want you to walk into your kitchen, and I want you to take a cup, and I promote an exercise where I tell them to break the cup on purpose. And you should try this during the commercial break. Try right now. Find a cup that you don't like, grab it, and I want you to go to the kitchen and break it. I want you to literally drop it on the ground. You'll discover that you have a psychological wall inside of you that prevents you from doing this. It's social, it's all of these things, but there's no negative consequences to this, and nobody's there, so nobody's going to care. Just do it. If you do it, you'll discover your wall, and discovering that wall is a huge part of what it is that we try to work on.
That is really intriguing, and that wall. And then I think that with those types of exercises, by discovering these walls, as you call them, that's where the awareness can come from about the non-visible flinch. But you have to start spreading out a little bit and feeling that, because it's a feeling. It's not something like the flinch you can see, but this is an internal flinch. That's very intriguing. Once you become aware of what it feels like, then you can start to connect with the other things that you do that feel like that and identify those as well and break through that plateau as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back talking with Julian Smith about his book, The Flinch. You can get it at Amazon.com or JuliansMith.com, and that's J-U-L-I-E-N. Correct? Correct, Julian?
That's it.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Your goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally, but now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition.
everyone who has used the blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the blueprint forum to ensure your success. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Julian Smith about his book, The Flinch. You can get it at his website, juliansmith.com. You can get it at amazon.com. Where else? What's the other website, Julian?
InOverYourHead.net, but you can pretty much grab it on Amazon really easy.
Yeah, that's where I got it from, too. Very easy download, too. If you have an iPhone, you just have to download the Kindle app, which is free, or Kendall. What is it, Kindle or Kendall?
Kindle.
Yeah, that's right. Kendall was the guy who dated Barbie, Dom.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, have you been sought out by any of the big corporate giants to teach the flinch inside the corporate environment? The reason I ask that is because when I was a young man in my first business venture living in Las Vegas, we went to a couple really important seminars. Back when Tony Robbins, by the way, wasn't very popular, I sat in one of his seminars in Las Vegas that he did on neurolinguistics programming, which was really, really interesting. But anyway, one of them was about obtaining original thought. In order to obtain original thought, you have to break through your notion of how the world works. And one of the exercises they had was you had to play a game with four or five people. You'd pick two inanimate objects and then try to find ways to marry them together and make something real out of them. Has corporate America reached out to you at all to come in and teach the flinch?
Yeah, I mean, the book has only been out a couple of months. The reaction has been huge. Calls for me to come speak have already begun, and it's done really well. And I think actually, you know, change inside of large corporations is one of the hugest roadblocks that we have. Like, we, as human beings, we naturally kind of build bureaucracies around ourselves, and then the problem becomes that these bureaucracies are no longer effective, and they're no longer like, so at one point, you know, maybe a factory was the most effective way to compete in the marketplace, but now, you know, lots of small free agents are more agile, and really we're looking at a competitive environment, increasingly competitive environment, and unless you have the ability to adapt to that, then you're not going to be able to do anything. So to me, that's what the flinch is about. It's about the ability to change not only yourself, but a company as well. And how you do that is really by changing the individuals. It's not some, like, who moved my cheese nonsense.
Yeah, right.
It's about real self-examination and diligence in the face of your own habits.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Talk to me about the 500-mile walk. It was 500 miles, right? Not
right, exactly. 800 kilometers. What, mostly
first of all,
kind of barefoot, by the way. It's
barefoot it's, or with, like, five fingers on?
With Vibram five fingers, so barely what they're for anybody who doesn't know what they are, they're sort of barefoot minimalist shoes with little toes on them. They're hideously ugly.
I did an interview with the Vibram people a couple years ago when they were introducing the shoe, and I told them that they should have called it the paleo foot because it really, you know,
right.
It harkens back to being cave people with just a little bit of cushion. That's it, you know.
So the people that have that are in the paleo, you know, diet movement have really embraced these shoes.
Yeah.
And before we went to commercial, you were talking about the idea of these gorillas if you put them in a tree, an environment where there's lots of trees versus a small cage, their brain begins to adapt to that environment.
Right.
I know people inside of the paleo movement that are doing this kind of thing, that are reteaching people how to climb trees and how to run barefoot and so on. And so as I came to know these people, I came across Vibram five-finger shoes. So
cool.
to get back to the story, what happened is that my girlfriend and myself, it was actually my girlfriend's idea. She'd been willing to, I've been wanting to do the Appalachian Trail for years, which is an American trail 2,000 miles long.
Right.
And she wanted to go to Spain and do what's called the Camino de Santiago. So you walk basically all across Spain barefoot, you walk up and down mountains and through a bunch of little towns. And it's really kind of an amazing experience. The ability to sort of go, well, like, you know, this sounds like an insane thing. And doing the insane, you know, I don't mean criminally insane, I mean things that are considered unreasonable is one of the best ways to sort of break through your usual programming. Because
right.
You're in a different habit, your different habits are different people, you're doing different things than what you normally do, when normally you would stop, instead you keep going, that kind of thing.
Right. So it took, how long did it take you?
It took 35 days, and that's
did you,
walking
did you
about
camp, did you
like
camp?
20 miles
did you
a day.
Did you camp, like, to, or did you check into hotels, or how did you do that?
Yeah, so some people camp, but because this is a very old, it's a religious pilgrimage route. So some people do it, they're religious, and some people do it are humanistic or whatever they say. And the people that do it, generally in every town there's a place where you can stay because this thing has existed for over 1,000 years. So you can go, and I mean, if you do the Appalachian Trail, that's like literally in the woods and you have to be camping every day. So you're carrying all your stuff on your back.
Yeah.
But here, you don't have to carry as much because you're going, you know, in Europe, there's like towns every 5 miles.
Yeah, it's actually, Europe is built to walk through as opposed to the United States, which is built to drive through.
Exactly. And you notice that in the way that the buildings are built. You notice that in the way that, really, I mean, this is a fundamental concept that brings us back to the idea of like the corridors that we build around our life, is that you'll notice this amazing thing happens when you walk so far. You can look at any building in the distance, and I could still do it and be like, yeah, that'll be about 2.5 hours walk. And you do that because of your ability, because we used to walk long distances. We had to. And now we don't have to do that anymore, so we've lost the entire skill set based around all of those things.
That perception of how far things are, that's really interesting. Tell me something about overcoming the flinch. Okay, so I told you my story about the hot sauna, cold shower thing, and it kind of just evolved to where I look forward to it and embrace it from where I used to freak out about getting in there. So I take a cup to my kitchen. I dropped it on the floor. I broke through that barrier. Am I healed? Am I flinchless now about that particular thing? Or do I have to encounter these barriers and make that decision to cross them several times, and when does that flinch go away?
So think about this as if you were a boxer and you were entering a ring. The reality of what it is that you have to do is that you are always fighting against your natural reaction to get out of the ring and to go to some, you know, movie theater or something and watch somebody else fight in a film in which someone else gets beat up, but eventually they win. But the reality is this is not how people actually win. The way people actually win is by getting in the damn ring and doing it themselves. So everybody usually, the way I would talk about it in the book, I'd say something like everybody wants the glory, but no one wants the scars.
Right.
And so it never does end. The reality is because your brain is adaptable, it'll adapt upward. If you are able to do many of the things that normally make you flinch, those things will subside and you'll find yourself stronger than before. But just like, you know, at the beginning of your life, if your parents coddled you and told you, you know, never to get yourself dirty or whatever, you'll have no immune system. The same thing will happen if you find yourself sort of retreating. You will become whatever you put yourself through. That's the true reality of all of life, from little tiny organisms all the way up to elephants, and with us in the middle, that's how it works.
So the reality is that some wise person, I don't know how long ago, coined that term that I started the show with, that which does not kill you makes you stronger. And that really is true in the end of, at the end analysis.
It absolutely is. And you'll notice this. You know, it's funny, we could talk about this in a really intellectual way, and I'm sure there's a lot of philosophers that went really deeply into this, and they would be more than happy to sell you a book about it. But the reality is that people who understand the physical aspect of challenge understand it better than ever. They understand it better than almost anyone, and because we're less active than we ever have been, the result is that fewer people understand psychological barriers than ever. So, really, this is the kind of thing where you could be the first person out of all of the people that you know to be, you know what, I'm gonna see what happens when I try this or when I try that. But fundamentally, because we're not just like, you know, we're not lone wolves, we're probably more like bees than like wolves, where we work in packs, all of the things that you do, all of the activities that you take part in, which will break the patterns of your own brain, also will influence the people around you. So really, when you do things like this, you're actually, in a larger scale, in a larger sense, helping a community of people around you as well.
You know, it's funny. One of the questions I was going to ask you was on that line. Do you remember a book from the late 70s, early 80s called The 100 Monkey Theory?
No, I've never read that.
It was written by somebody out in California. I want to say up in the San Francisco area. He was, the concept of the book was this. And it was, this is true. It's a true story. There were these monkeys, like spider monkeys or something, on an island. And they learned about yams, but they couldn't eat the yams because there was sand all over them. And there were monkeys on these other islands, too, that were inhabited with, and that had yams on them as well. And the idea was, I mean, the number 100 was an arbitrary number, but at some point in time, the monkeys on one of the islands started taking the yams down to the waterline and washing them, and then they were able to eat them. And at that moment, when this like consciousness occurred, all the monkeys on all the other islands started doing it too.
Wow!
And this was actually studied, and so it was called the 100th monkey theory, that when something reaches a certain gravity in the consciousness, everybody benefits from it. Everybody gets it. It could also be stress. Everybody suffers from it. So
of course that makes sense.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
us, you know, the interesting, if you look at social networks, I come from examining social networks, and not just like Facebook, but like human beings had social networks before we ever had Facebook or MySpace or whatever. What you notice is that you have a deep influence even on those you don't know. And they can't really, many studies have been done, like you said, on this. They cannot explain exactly why, and I'm not trying to give it some metaphysical explanation.
Right.
What I'm trying to say instead is we influence each other through many subtle signals, even some of which we don't even understand consciously. So we, you know, they call this the 3-degree of influence rule. So imagine your person zero and all the people that you know around you, a circle of people around you, or group one. And then the circle around them, which they know, your friends know, but you do not. Those are group two. So if you get fat, you influence the people in group one to get fat because you know them. They might be, oh, well, you know, he gained 10 pounds. He looks fine, you know. So they don't feel like it's so bad if it happens to them. But then they also influence group two and group three. So they call this a 3 circles of influence rule.
Cool.
And if you have the ability to be person zero, you can have a huge impact on lots of people. You may not understand why, and you may feel like you're small, but in fact, you're very powerful if you give yourself the ability to.
That's really cool. All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and we'll wrap up the interview with Julian Smith. You can get his book, The Flinch, for free. For free, I tell you. How often do I give something away here? Nah, he's actually giving it away. Go to Julian Smith, JulienSmith.com, or go to Amazon.com and get your copy. We'll be right back.
Amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to Ageforce.com today.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Hey, we don't flinch out on this show, Julian. You know, my audience is made up of people who embrace physical culture. Under that heading, we have power lifters, bodybuilders, CrossFit enthusiasts, MMA fighters, anybody who understands the importance of physical culture in maintaining the human condition. And especially, I emphasize a healthy human condition that's able to stave off age-related disease, which is the mission of the show. You know, so you were involved in CrossFit. And in CrossFit, you're trying to always push your personal bests, correct? Every session, you want to get more done in a specific period of time. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, exactly.
So isn't that kind of those of us who are involved in physical culture, you know, if you get under the bar with 500 pounds on it, and it's the first time you've ever squatted 500 pounds, even if you've done 465, 475 for a couple reps, it's still scary.
It's always, you know, it's some of your readers may be familiar with Martin Birkin. He does the lean gains.
I've tried to get him on the show so many times. You know what his last response to me was? Do you know him?
Yeah, I do know him. I'm a client of his.
Will you tell him that you've been on the show and it was painless?
You know what? I'll talk to him. I'll tell him.
Okay.
He says that the squat is the most psychologically challenging exercise, and that even if you're even doing squats, it doesn't matter what the weight is. It could be 465, like it could be 200 pounds. And if that's what your limit is, your 5 rep max or what have you, then you're in a place where you're doing something which is so taxing. In my case, I actually feel, I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to do this. And I'll be talking with my girlfriend. I'll be like, maybe I'll just skip it this week, you know?
Yeah.
So it is so difficult, but it carries forward into the rest of your life because it's so primal. It hits you in so many different parts of your brain, and your brain is screaming for you to stop, but you go forward anyway. I think it's an amazing training ritual for life.
You know, the squat is absolutely much more dangerous than the deadlift. However, they're both equally inspiring moves. If you once you learn to do them well and you're starting to use heavier and heavier weight, it builds a sense of self-confidence that translates to other areas of your life. And you're right. And so I guess the question is, for those of us who get in the gym and I used to obsess about leg day the night before. Because I'm 53, I'll be 53 this year, and I used to think to myself, man, I hope I don't blow a valve out of my heart. Or, if, you know, if I was deadlifting that day, gee, I hope I don't blow a disc. And, you know, I'd start obsessing the night before. You talk about flinch. I started flinching the night before. Do you think that translates when you break through the barriers in one area, does that help in other areas as well?
Oh, I'm sure. I personally feel that it does. I don't know if studies support that, but I think a lot of the athletes who are probably listening feel the same way. And here's the other thing, is that relating back to this sort of anxiety that you end up having, or because, you know, as you get older, maybe like you might feel like you're more fragile or what have you. You keep in mind that the solution is not simply to push through the flinch, although that is an important aspect to it. The real solution is technique. And the proper solution is form. So what we're looking for is almost like a methodology for mapping out your psychological environment. If you can say, you know, where are these sort of dark places? You know, if you ever played something like not World of Warcraft, but the original Warcraft game, where it was like orcs versus humans, you have large, like 90% of the map is dark, and you have to explore it with your little characters or what have you. But this is the way our minds really do work. Most of what is going on is in this tiny little corridor, and we never exit to find out what's going on in the sort of the dark spots. But we need to go through these inner psychological maps, and we only do that by facing discomfort. And discomfort is, in fact, what makes those maps smaller. Our purpose in life and as children is to make the maps as large as possible, and that's why we do things like touch burners and, you know, like punch the dog and, like, put our fingers in the electrical socket. And it's because we're trying to learn how to make our world bigger so that we can understand it. Mm. So some people, you know, they even go so far as trying to balance on their hands. They become acrobats. And other people become good at writing. And then they become writers, maybe. But then at some point, as adults, we stop trying to make our world bigger. But the people that truly understand how to make your world bigger are athletes and people that are constantly challenging themselves. So you have a fundamental part of it right there, I think.
Do you think there's any health benefits to embracing the flinch and breaking through those barriers?
You know, I mean, stress has been proven to be, you know, to cause many, many of the problems that we end up having later on in life. And really, you can notice this if you have older parents. My whole family is quite old, and you notice the stress that small things cause them that would never have caused me any stress, and definitely not people that most people that I know are my age. So I don't know if it happens over time naturally, if like the brain ends up getting calcified or what have you, but there must be a way around this. There must be a way to fight it. And you can find exercises, just like physical exercises, that improve memory, that help you keep your brain active. And if we can keep doing this, we're going to end up a better people, and we'll end up with a better society, a society that's less afraid of changing things and experimenting with things to see what else could work.
Last question of the interview. Have you had people who were not understanding your goal lump you into the adrenaline junkie realm?
You know, it's funny. I don't get put in that one as well. I get put in the Tony Robbins, this is nonsense, this is simplistic category. And, you know, if you make something that's really, that has a strong opinion like the work that I do, it's inevitable that you will get dissenters. And that's fine, and I accept that. But the interesting part is that the book, The Flinch, is simple on purpose. And it's not simple because I couldn't, you know, Mark Twain said a great thing. I'm sorry that I wrote you such a long letter. I didn't have time to write a short one. Because writing something short,
succinct is harder, right, exactly.
is more difficult. We've been talking for an hour here, but imagine that I had to condense it into 5 minutes. It'd be so much more difficult to do. So the idea of simplicity is, in fact, you know, Steve Jobs would agree, one of the core goals in the work that we do. So to me, that's a big part of it. And maybe going back to lifting and going and doing back to going back to other things like that, like physical things, we need to find those key exercises that will keep us in a strong, agile state for the rest of our lives. I'm still looking for everything. I haven't solved all these problems, but I'm looking, and I think that other people should be looking too.
You know, it's interesting too, because we talk about how stress is really life threatening, and we know that it is. And so I was thinking about this the other day in the shower. I mean, this is quite innocuous. I was thinking about the idea of being conservative in life in general. If the shower is too hot, do you turn the cold higher or do you turn the hot lower? And this is just rhetorical. This is what I was thinking of the other day. I was thinking, you know, conservative people probably turn the hot down and non-conservative people probably turn the cold up. And so I was thinking about, you know, and listening to what you're saying, and I'm saying, you know, everybody in the mainstream stress management world is telling people to relax and calm down and and you have to manage your stress. Be more calm, be more relaxed. But is that really the answer to a society like the lunch I had on Rodeo Drive the other day? I felt like I was in Vietnam. A calm person would have jumped out of their skin. They couldn't finish, you know, their meal. I just had a second glass of champagne. But anyway, you know, it's like maybe the answer to stress management isn't trying to calm down, but pushing the threshold of what really bugs you farther up.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me. You know, as long as we continue to explore what the solution is, because our world's going to continuously change. So we can't ever accept that we have a single answer, you know?
Yeah.
If we think that we have one single answer, we're just going to rely on that no matter how inefficient it becomes over time. So really it's about this process of constant exploration and adaptation.
Yeah,
I think that we're learning that. Athletes especially know that. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm talking to my people. I really, you know, it's a great thing to be doing.
They are your people.
You could be on the level.
No doubt about it. Everybody in my – I mean, we've got some massively strong people. I do a show every other Thursday called the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy Acquisition, and we have two guys from two totally different philosophical standpoints. We have Wade Johnson – who is a drug-free, career drug-free power lifter. He's, I think, 44 or 45 now, and he just squatted 1,040 pounds. And I know he's been drug-free his whole life. Like I say on the show, unless pizza's a drug. And then we have another guy who's very cerebral about going after his workouts and so on. And so we have a lot of people in the audience that are purely after strength for either performance purposes, but we have other people in the audience because my mantra is stronger is younger. If you can continually get stronger as you age, then are you not acting like someone who is younger? We always attribute youth to having the strength. If I can keep getting stronger as I age, then I'm pushing back time as far as I'm concerned.
I totally agree. You know, this is amazing. If you ever have a chance to look it up, an amazing program called Operation Pull Your Own Weight. And it's about getting children to be able to do pull-ups, because pull-ups being the main exercise, if you could do one pull-up, you're about the right weight and you're about the right strength.
Interesting.
And most people and children can't even do one pull-up.
Yeah.
So even starting with that and that being a primary goal for children will keep them strong and agile, stuff like that, it's a great goal.
I like that. Hey, listen, Julian, I know you're a busy guy. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. It was great.
All right. And everybody go to Amazon.com and get Julian Smith's book, The Flinch, or visit his website, juliansmith.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first
first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Shake that thing, miss. Can I welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Get the book, The Flinch. It really is good. Really, really is good. And you know, it's a lot of the things that we already know in this audience. We feel it. We know that as we get stronger in the gym, as we get faster in our sprints, as we are able to perform better in the realm of physical culture, that does allow us to feel better and be better in other areas of our lives. So it's at Amazon.com and, of course, his website, JulianSmith.com. Okay. I was told when I did this last time that people liked it, so I'm going to do it again. We're going to go over some forgotten training protocols. We're always looking for something to do to switch things up, to keep promoting progress. We know that the body becomes accustomed to certain things and adjusts to those things and stops responding to those things. There are some people out there who think every 2 weeks you have to change things up. There's some people who change up week to week. Now, when I say change up, I don't mean change your whole routine. It could be light, heavy. It could be the order in which you do your movements. Start with back this week, the old priority approach that the Weeders promoted back in the day. Regardless, in order to keep things fresh, you know, you need more arrows in your quiver. Or imagine you're a cook, and all you have is
garlic powder, and oregano. Everything's going to taste like Italian food. You know, so you need some curry, you need some rosemary, you need some thyme, you need all these other things. That doesn't mean you want to have something with rosemary in it every day, but you want that option. And the same should be said about your workout. You should have other things that you can go in and change to help keep progress going. So we're going to address three different protocols today that you may or may not have heard of or forgotten about. The first is the Bulgarian Power Burst Training, and then we're going to talk about the Hard Gainer System, and then lastly, the Super Squat Routine. I first heard about the Bulgarian Power Burst Training program when I read Leo Costa's book, Big Beyond Belief, and I actually interviewed him in 2008, I believe, maybe it was 2007, on the show, because I was intrigued by, not only by the book and what he was espousing, but where he got this information from. Leo had gone over to the Soviet Union and met with some of the trainers of Eastern Bloc athletes. And I'm paraphrasing, but in the interview, and I should dig it up and play it again sometime, he said that, you know, they were very, very closed-mouthed the whole time he was there. He said, but like the night before he was ready to leave, he went out to dinner with them. And once the vodka started spilling, these guys became much more willing to share information with Leo. And what they basically shared with him was the way their strength athletes were training, and that ended up becoming the Power Burst Training protocol. The idea is that the work done has to be intense and for very short periods of time, so you're not making constant, deep, deep inroads into recovery. But you train three times a day. Now, obviously, this would only be realistic for any of us who are on vacation or we have a lifestyle where we could actually pick up and go to the gym three times a day, or we have a home gym where we can train. But the Bulgarian Power Burst Training Protocol requires that you do a 35 to 40 minute maximum workout. And really, they like them even shorter than that. What they really prefer is like a 20, 25, 30 minute workout tops. Three times a day. You have some microcycling of periodization. So you have varied intensity from week to week, and probably very much like that which Coach Wade Johnson espouses with his wave, his dynamic wave training approach. You know, you're going real heavy one week, lighter the next week, lighter yet the next week, and coming back on the third following week to a heavy day again. So the Bulgarian Power Burst Protocol requires that you you oscillate the intensity in microcycles from week to week. Now, in Leo Costa's book, as I recall, because I read it a couple times and I tried to use it for a while, Leo had people doing whole body workouts each day. And what he did was he varied the weight from day to day. Three days a week, I think it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you came in and you went very heavy Monday, lighter Wednesday, lighter Friday. You came back the next Monday and went very, very heavy again, kind of like what Coach Johnson would do. And the idea behind that was to actually cause some overreaching and some recovery, followed by some overreaching, followed by some recovery. The Bulgarians also believed that you shouldn't waste any time with what they considered unproductive intensities. And basically what this means is, all of those sets leading up to your working set, don't even bother with them. Now, I find this hard to do. I'm actually experimenting with something like this right now. I'm doing an Arthur Jones type hit with some unique things that I'm doing to it. But the hard thing about this is I just can't imagine coming into the gym and not doing at least one warm-up set to get the joints and the muscles moving along. It was said that some of the Bulgarians would even come back more than three times a day. they would come back 5, 6, 7 times a day, but they would shorten their workouts. And this was especially true of Olympic lifters who were specializing in a lift. So if they were doing a clean and press, they would walk into the gym, they would load the bar with near their maximum weight. They would do a couple clean and presses. They would rack the bar, maybe go up to their maximum weight. They'd do another clean and press. They would rack the bar, and they'd walk out of the gym and come back maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours later and do this again. Now, what they did in that hour and a half, 2 hours in between, I don't know. Maybe they rested. Maybe they had some special recovery techniques. But the Bulgarian power burst training protocol, as detailed by Leo Costa, was once a day, 3 days a week, but the one that he learned from was 3 times a day only. And no waste of time with unproductive intensity levels. The weight had to be 75%, 85%, all the way up to 100% of your one rep maximum when you were training. And you hit with the Bulgarian style, each body part was trained 3 times a week. And that's how Leo did it in his book. He basically had you do a whole body routine Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you were hitting each body part 3 times a week. And, you know, if you look at Arthur Jones and his high-intensity training protocol, you see some similarities here. I mean, Arthur was a big proponent of one set to failure and then move on. And I'm starting to experiment with some of this, and I'm starting to understand why this may actually be a productive approach to come full circle and talk about what we talked about with Coach Johnson and Rob Regish the other day, this idea that if you don't destroy your body, recovery occurs faster, so you can hit those muscles more frequently. And I'm starting to get the notion that that one working set has the greatest intensity, because every set after that, you don't have that same intensity. I'll talk about that towards the end of all this and some of the things that I'm discovering in the gym right now, and see if you're having some of these same discoveries on your end. But nonetheless, the Bulgarian power burst system was very effective. Obviously, the Bulgarians were leaders in the strength field for a very, very long time. And this was the way they trained, and it worked very, very well for them. So this might be something that you want to experiment with if you've got some vacation time coming up. You can do it for a short period of time and then go back to whatever you're doing now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the hard gainer system. Which of us is not a hard gainer? That's what I want to know. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. The next one is going to be the hard gainer system. I find this interesting because I think we're all hard gainers at some point in time, right? I mean, if you ask anybody if they're growing fast enough, and they'll probably tell you no. So in that spirit, we're all hard gainers. But there are some people out there who have a harder time than others putting on any muscle at all. And Stuart McRoberts wrote a book, Training Guide for Hard Gainers. And the protocol was interesting because he looked at upper body and lower body totally differently. And keep in mind, we talk about hard gainers, we're not talking about strength. The Bulgarian power burst training, that's one of those systems where strength is the focus, and if muscle size changes, great, but if it doesn't, it's not an issue. Being stronger is the issue. With the hard gainer system, we're talking about more aesthetics, hypertrophy. We're talking about muscle size. And McRoberts felt that the upper body responded best to 6 to 9 reps, and the lower body responded better to 10 to 20 reps, higher rep ranges. And the protocol requires that you do between 1 and 3 sets. So obviously, if you're new to it, you could start out with 1 set, add a set, eventually add a third set as time goes on. The real thrust of the approach, aside from the different rep ranges for upper body and lower body, is that you must add weight or add reps during each set of the workout. And that's easy to do if you're just doing 1 set. But if you're doing 2 and 3 sets, obviously this becomes harder and harder. Now, McRoberts felt that adding as little as a half pound each set was adequate as long as you started at that top weight. Next time you came back, that was your bottom weight. So really, you're adding a pound and a half, if you think of it that way, by the time you come back and do this again, which that was another portion of it. You did the same exercises over and over for a very long period of time. And obviously, you have to, with these kind of programs that build on the sets before, from the last session, you have to keep doing the same things. You can't change up. You can't come in and do flat bench one day and then go, I'm going to go do incline bench next time I come in, because this type of a protocol requires that you build on the one before, the session before. So that requires that you do the same movements again. The other emphasis was on form. Strict form was critical in every movement. So you couldn't overload. You couldn't do things where cheating was acceptable. There's a lot of people who feel that once you get into certain weight ranges,
that overloading is acceptable. I mean, cheating, I'm sorry, is acceptable. Like in the curl. You know, there's people out there who say, you know, if you keep strict form in your curl, you'll do better. And there's other people out there who say, no, the weight that you handle is what's going to make your arms grow. So even if you have to cheat a little bit by rocking your body, handling more weight is the answer. And there's been a divide amongst trainees and trainers for probably 100 years or longer about these types of issues. It really comes down to what works for you. Now, maintaining form, in my humble opinion, is the hardest part of all of this. Adding a half pound in weight from set to set and from session to session will catch up with you eventually. But if your strength is progressing, I would have to believe it becomes challenging and then you overcome. But the reality is that maintaining strict form is very difficult. I found this out the hard way. A couple weeks ago, I was in the gym, maybe it was last week, and I decided to try to do a very strict pulley curl. Now, I do pulley curls as a rule. I like pulley curls because the gravity doesn't influence the direction of the bar. I feel that barbell curls are really, really hard, the bottom third. Once you get past that halfway sticking point, the other side of the arc is easy because you're not really lifting the bar up. You're lifting it towards you if you look at the arc of your arm. And so I like pulley curls because it ensures that that weight is stressing the muscle no matter what angle you're coming at. And I usually do pulley curls standing up. So I thought I would try something as a test. I laid down on my back with my feet braced against the pulley machine and grabbed the short, narrow bar that I use to do curls with. So I'm laying down almost, I'm laying down facing the ceiling and I'm doing a curl pulling and the pulley's all the way down at the lowest point. And I'm doing a curl where my arms are literally against the floor. So I can't push my arms back. Rocking is not going to help me. There's no way for me to assist this curl. And I have to tell you that I could not handle the same amount of weight for the number of reps when I was laying down doing it than when I was standing up, which clearly shows that I was cheating when I'm standing up to some degree, even if a small degree. Could just be when I launch and get the bar moving, I may be helping it. Who knows? But nonetheless, when you use strict form, this becomes increasingly more difficult to execute, especially adding weight or reps from set to set. Now, while I think there may be some interesting aspects to this workout program, especially the differentiation between different reps for upper body versus lower body, I really think, in my humble opinion, that the magic for a hard gainer is not necessarily the exercise routine, but their diet. All the people that I've ever encountered who claim they can't put on muscle and they're thin and they train so hard, I don't think training is the problem for them. When you really start talking to them and picking apart what they're doing, what you find out is they don't eat enough. They think they do. Almost the way women think they do when you talk to women and say, you know, you need to eat more to lose weight. And they go, well, I eat so much. And when you start talking to these people, you find out they're not getting adequate amounts of protein. They're not getting adequate amounts of fat. And they're not getting adequate amounts of carbohydrates. They're just not eating enough to reward the stimulation from exercise. So while this program is called the Hard Gainer System, I think the greatest value in this system is the adherence to strict form and the goal of trying to add reps or weight from every set. So every single set, no matter whether it's performed this week, next week, or the week after, every single set has to build on the one before, either in more reps or more weight. Now obviously, when you add weight, you can drop down to a lower number of reps and then kind of rev your way back up again. I think that's where the real value in this approach comes from, and the strict form. I think that if more of us paid attention to strict form, we'd probably be able to use a lot less weight and build more muscle. But if you're like me, the ego gets in the way, and you want to you want to handle more weight and look better doing it. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the super squat routine, and it's just what it sounds like. All you do is squat. What can it do for you? We'll talk about that when we come back, and then later in the show, I'll talk about my own personal revelations recently. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Run for cover, motherfucker. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. True Protein Protein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, was geht ab? Guten Morgen, es ist 7:30 Uhr hier auf We Got Soul FM. Und ich habe hier einen heißen Track für einen heißen Tag. Max, sehr schön, dass du wieder da bist, Löwe.
Es ist schön, dich zu sehen, Love, hab mich vermisst.
Okay, what he said. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, you want to change up? You want to do something totally different? You want to do something totally radical? You've been training the same way month in, month out for years now, and you want to try something totally different? How about the super squat routine? Dr. Randall Strassen was the one who decided that this was a go-to routine for people. You go into the gym and you do one set of 20 reps in a squat. Every single session, you go back, you add 5 pounds to your squat. Now, after you do your set of squats, you do one light set of pullovers, because back in the day they believed that squats compressed and pullovers expanded the rib cage. Now, you know, this is no different than a specialization routine. But when you start getting into these higher rep ranges, 20 reps, the cardiovascular system is challenged dramatically. There's a bridging of the aerobic and anaerobic thresholds. And all of a sudden, an anaerobic movement, like squatting, ends up becoming an aerobic movement and a very, very extreme aerobic movement. This should not be done by people who are not in some decent aerobic conditioning, hence me. You want to start out with a weight that you know that you can do 20 reps with. I would go into the gym and I'd start out real light with this one. I mean, if you're not used to squatting, I'd start out and maybe put, you know, 35s on it and that's it. And do 20 reps. If you want to make this even more difficult, then employ the approach that the old-time weightlifters used to employ. One that was also used by Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day and many other famous bodybuilders. Try adding breathing reps to it. And basically the way that works, if you haven't heard it before, you go down, you do one rep, you come up, you take one breath. You go down, you do your second rep, you come up, you take two breaths. You go down, you do your third rep, you come up, you take three breaths. You continue to do this until you get to your fifth rep and you do 5 breaths, and then you continue at 5 breaths. So after the fifth rep, rep number 6, you go down, you come back up, you breathe 6 times while the weight is bearing down on you. You go down, you do your 7th rep, you come up, you breathe 5 times. You go down, you come up, you breathe 5 times, each time out after the 5th rep. So you do 20 reps, and for 15 of them, you're breathing 5 times in between reps. A lot of people think that this is easy because they say, oh, well, you're recovering. No, you're not recovering. The weight is bearing down on your spine, on your back, on your glutes, on your hams, on your quads. In fact, you could probably do a lot more reps if you just bang them out faster. But it was once said that these super squat routines, when people did them right, they used proper form, and when they kept adding 5 pounds of weight each session and started to push themselves into that realm where now they're handling weight that they really can't do for 20 reps and they're pushing themselves, and maybe you can only get 14 or 15 reps out, that's when you stop with that weight, and you continue to use that weight from session to session until you can get 20 reps out of it. This is said to not only build amazing strength throughout the entire body, but amazing cardiovascular conditioning as well. But again, I say this with all sincerity. This is not something that somebody who's not prepared for it should do. You really need to be prepared for this, because this is really, really serious work for your body. Anybody who squats regularly knows that doing a 20-rep set of squats is quite arduous. So if you want to change up, maybe you should go into the gym and do a squat routine, one set, 20 reps, and leave. I'm sorry, don't leave. Then you have to do a light set of pullovers, and you can use the pullover machine, obviously, or do it with a dumbbell, but a light set of pullovers to expand the rib cage. But you come in, do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Come in and do 20 reps. Add 5 pounds on Wednesday. Add 5 pounds on Friday. Go home, take the weekend off. Come back Monday and add 5 pounds. Come back Wednesday, add 5 pounds. Just keep on doing that until you just can't do 20 reps anymore. And then once you can't do 20 reps,
You stay with that weight until you can do 20 reps. And don't forget to do the rib cage expanding pullover at the end of the squat set. I've been learning something. I told you that I've been tracking my workouts. I've been keeping my training diary. I haven't been updating it on the blog just because of the time it takes. I've been doing it on my iPhone. It's very easy for me to do it on my iPhone and glance down. What I've discovered in the past week and a half is that my second set is my most productive set in intensity if you look at the amount of work done, the amount of weight actually moved. So I made a decision last week that starting this week, actually over the weekend I started this, I was just going to do two sets of these movements that I'm doing. And I'm going to reduce the time in the gym dramatically to about 30 minutes or less, actually. And I am going to shoot for what I call a work coefficient, which is the amount of total weight moved per minute that I'm in there. My goal is to get that to somewhere around 1,300 pounds. I have a funny suspicion that when combining this notion that the Bulgarians learned about and Wade Johnson talked about the other day, that making gains may have more to do with training less and recovering more than working harder. And the teachings of Arthur Jones and the Bulgarians as well, that the most productive sets are the only ones you should be doing. Because what I learned was, I mean, I don't know, take a movement. Let's say a pressing movement. So let's say on this particular machine, the hammer strength machine, the wide chest, I would start out with one plate on each side and do 20 reps. Then I'd put two plates on and quite often do another 20 reps. Then I'd put the third plate on. And then I would do maybe, I don't know, 14 reps. And then I put that fourth plate on and I'd eke out six reps. Well, what I learned was mathematically, the second set totaled the most weight. The third and fourth set, while I was moving more weight per rep, the total work done was far less. So I started to think to myself, well, if the objective is to have the most productive sets, then why don't I just do two sets of that and then move on to a different chest movement and do two sets of that and then move on to something else? And so what I've done now is I have four different movements that I did this morning. I happen to work chest and shoulders, actually five, and I just did two sets of each, making my first set not a traditional warm-up set, but starting out with something heavier. So this morning I started out with two plates on that movement on each side. I did 20 reps, and then the second set I put the other two plates on, and I ended up doing, I think, 12 reps to failure, which was more than I would have done with that weight before. So that was a much more productive set. And then I stopped with that, and then I moved on to something else. So I'm going to experiment with this new approach, because my notion is to think that if you look at cars, and we always use cars as analogies, if you look at a car has a red line. And a car has something else called a power band or power curve. An engine will develop the majority of its bulk horsepower quite often, let's say between 4,000 and 5,500 RPMs, even though it doesn't redline until 7,000 RPMs. So those who race cars know you always want to shift at the top of your power curve. Your power curve progresses up from 4,000 to 5,500 RPMs, and then after 55,000 RPMs, it starts to come back down again. So your horsepower actually drops. You don't want to shift on the other side of the power curve. That's the same thing as shifting too soon, shifting too late. Our bodies have a power curve, I've discovered. And so what I'm experimenting with is this notion of shifting at the peak of my power curve and utilizing the most productive sets only that I move the most weight, but doing more of these short sets. I was done with my workout this morning in 17 minutes. I haven't done the numbers yet, but I have a funny feeling that for those 17 minutes, I have a much higher work coefficient. which means that the average amount of weight moved for the time I was in the gym was greater than a day where I spent 45 minutes or 40 minutes in the gym doing four sets of this and three sets of that. And ultimately, if it's the work done that stimulates muscle growth, then I should see some results. So we're going to see. I could be really off base about this, but we'll definitely see. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is I got an email from someone who remained named Mr. X, who came down to train with me one time. He asked me to talk about when we were training. He and I were deadlifting in the gym, and this was in November. And while we were there, there was a fella who was bench pressing. We were deadlifting. He was actually bench pressing the weight that we were deadlifting. Truth. And I guess I can say his name. He's a former football star from Kentucky. His name is Jimmy Maddox. And anybody who lived in this area knows that Jimmy Maddox was like one of the fastest running backs to come out of some high school here. And he was going to make it to the NFL. There was no doubt about it. I talked to him quite often. One day I asked him how old he was. I think he's like 46 now, 47 years old. I says, how much do you weigh, Jimmy? He's 275 pounds or 280 pounds, and he's probably about 5'6 or so. I mean, he looks like a bull. And we were over there deadlifting, and he was putting up 405 like for reps nonstop. I mean, I'm not kidding. I think that day he went up to 475, and he ended up doing like five or six reps with 475. And I've often asked him if he would ever compete in bodybuilding, because if he ever leaned out, he would look amazing. The guy is a monster. He said no, it would take too much time away from his grandchildren. But anyway, he asked me if I would deadlift with him because he's watched me deadlift in the gym before, and he hurt his back when he was in school, and that's why he never made it to the NFL. And he wants to start deadlifting again for the strength in his back. And he asked me if I would come in and deadlift with him. I have not deadlifted with him yet, Mr. X, because I haven't been deadlifting. I have a lot of work to do before I start deadlifting again. I'm going to show the movement the respect that it deserves. So anyway, you've been listening to Superhuman Radio. We're probably going to have to end the show now. I really don't have anything else to talk about. I don't want to waste your time. Hope you enjoyed the first hour with Julian Smith. Get his book, The Flinch. It's a great book. You can get it at Amazon.com or at his website, juliansmith.com, and that's J-U-L-I-E-N. The book is free, and I think you'll learn something from it. We'll see you tomorrow. We got a great show planned tomorrow. Thanks for listening.